Today in review, Print Speaking to the Blind, celebrating 40 years of audio newspaper production. Welcome to this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast, recorded at the Bishopriggs Media Centre by our amazing volunteers. You can get in touch with us via Facebook, Twitter or Instagram using @QNReview. That is @CUEANDREVIEW. You can also contact us directly by emailing information@QNReview.com. That is information@CUEANDREVIEW.com. Or by calling 0141 772 3976. That's 0141 772 3976.
Dated Wednesday, the 6th of March, 2024. This week's podcast is read to you by Alan, Hunter, Ian and Rebecca. St Ninian's 150th year. Kirkintilloch St Ninian School is celebrating 150 years of education throughout 2024. Mass was first celebrated in the new and purpose-built parish / school building on January the 11th, 1874, with pupils being admitted just over a week later on January 19th. The school consisted of one room, providing accommodation for nearly 200 pupils, with the attendance on the first day being 90 pupils. During this time, St Ninian's not only served those residents of Dumbartonshire who wished their children educated in the faith, but pupils would come from as far afield as Stirlingshire, Grangemouth, Falkirk and North Glasgow before the expansion of denominational education across Scotland. And, fittingly enough, the school year celebration began on January 11th this year, exactly 150 years to the day. That saw Archbishop Cushley providing Mass before a reception for invited guests, parishioners and families in the parish hall, which from 1895 to 1931 had been the main school building. Head teacher Paul McLaughlin said, "It's an exciting year for the school and a joy and privilege for me as headmaster to be involved in marking this significant anniversary." Throughout the rest of the year, pupils will be engaging in a number of curricular activities across the school. They will also get a chance to have classroom experience across the decades, making time capsules, recording digital memories from former pupils and teachers, enjoy an invitational football tournament, and help with a community wellbeing outreach cafe. There will also be a mural/mosaic to which all pupils can contribute. Whole school events for the year began with the celebratory Mass and will be followed with the commissioning of a stained glass window for the school oratory. A mural in the school area, which shows the school down the decades, will also be created, with an exhibition at the Old Kirk Museum taking place throughout June. There will also be a near 150 miles pilgrimage to Whithorn in August, the establishment of the St Ninian's 150 Alumni Fund, which aims to further enhance the school's legacy by financing projects and activities, and a gala dinner at the Marriott Hotel on November 16th. Famous former pupils include Doctor Who star Peter Capaldi, the Blue Nile frontman Paul Buchanan, and high-profile footballers including Scotland, Celtic, Arsenal and Real Sociedad star Kieran Tierney. There has been drama in its past, from measles outbreaks in the early 1900s to a hero rescue by a 13-year-old boy called Harry McDernan, reported at the time in the Kirkintilloch Herald. The then St Ninian's pupil is recalled as saving the life of an infant girl by jumping into the canal fully clothed to help the tot. He was praised by the school rector, Mr William Barry, and given £5 for his efforts. And that article was read by me, Ian. This week in history. March 8th, 1952. An artificial heart was used for the first time in a 41-year-old man, which kept him alive for 80 minutes. On this day last year, exercise could be as beneficial as drugs in treating premature ejaculation. Researchers from Anglia Ruskin University suggested following a study. March 9, 1796. Napoleon married society beauty Josephine de Beauharnais. On this day last year, Mystic Meg, the astrologer who first became famous for predicting winners in the televised National Lottery draw in the 90s, died aged 80. March 10th, 1914, The Rope of Venus by Velázquez in London's National Gallery was damaged by suffragettes. March 11th, 1981, Sir Maurice Oldfield, British intelligence chief considered to be model for Ian Fleming's M in the Bond novels, died. March 12, 1941, the original incident used in Compton Mackenzie's Whiskey Galore occurred in the Hebrides when a cargo ship ran aground with her hold full of whiskey. Islanders hid the 250,000 bottles from custom officers. On this day last year, veteran broadcaster Sir David Attenborough warned that nature is in crisis and urged people to unite behind action to save it.
Firefighters on the ball with teams. Firefighters from East Dumbartonshire recently shared CPR training and defibrillator guidance with Rangers and Celtic B team players and coaches. Scottish Fire and Rescue Service visited the training grounds of Rangers and Celtic to pass on vital CPR techniques to players from each club's B team. Players and coaches were also given live demonstrations of how to operate a defibrillator by the crews from Mulgay, Bishopbriggs and Kirkintilloch community fire stations. Watch Commander Chris Spence helped to facilitate the awareness sessions. He said, "This was an excellent opportunity for us to help shine a spotlight on the importance of learning some life-saving skills and techniques. Our crews regularly take part in CPR and defibrillator awareness events involving young people within schools and community groups. So this was a really positive way of furthering our efforts." Both Rangers and Celtic were very supportive and I would like to thank them for their assistance. The feedback has all been very positive. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR, is a life-saving procedure performed when someone is in cardiac arrest. It helps to pump blood and oxygen around a person's body when their heart can't. Chris Milne, head of Rangers Academy Medical Services, said, "We were delighted to welcome the SFRS to the Rangers Training Centre to deliver CPR training to our B team. It is a valuable life skill for our young players to possess, with the initiative equipping them with the necessary skills for situations which they may encounter at any point in their professional careers. The high-profile incidents which have occurred in recent years have brought the issue into focus, and it's vitally important that our players understand how best to react in situations where they could save a life." Stephen McManus, Celtic's B team coach, added, "The CPR training we have undertaken was really powerful and enlightening both to our young players and the coaches involved, and something we all agreed will be really useful to us going forward. As we have seen on so many occasions in the context of football at all levels, serious incidents and emergencies can happen at any time, and it is vital, therefore, that our young players are armed with knowledge and skills to make a difference. Ultimately, handling a situation in the right way can be the difference between life and death, so the importance of this training cannot be underestimated. We sincerely thank the Scottish Fire and Rescue Service for their support and expertise. Please visit Save a Life for Scotland to learn more about CPR awareness and to learn vital skills." Read by Alan Todd.
Green and Grey exhibition is now on at the Old Kirk. When you think of post-industrial sites, you don't tend to associate them with thriving plants, wildlife and unexpected bursts of colour. But they've proven to be a fertile ground for artist Thomas Wilson, who has created an exhibition for the Old Kirk Museum in Kirkintilloch. Thomas Wilson, The Green and Grey, is on from the 2nd of March to the 18th of April 2024 featuring a mix of atmospheric paintings and drawings. Wilson, who hails from the rural coalfields of East Ayrshire, now lives in Kirkintilloch, has had a lifelong interest in nature and concern for the environment. He said, "I believe derelict post-industrial sites speak volumes about our attitudes to the environment, life, and our exploitation of natural resources. We all know we need to make significant changes to our thinking nationally, globally, and personally towards the environment and the other non-human life forms living on it. I hope my work can play a part in creating a greater sensitivity to this life." The free exhibition is informed by the artist's experiences as a field naturalist, conservationist, and wildlife surveyor, drawing the natural world in around him as he observes, explores, like a hunter-gatherer. Thomas Wilson, the Green and Grey, is on at the Allkirk until April the 18th. Many of the works will be for sale, with 5% of any profit made by the artist being donated to Scottish wildlife charity Scottish Badgers. The Cowgate Museum is open Tuesday to Saturday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Read by Rebecca.
Honorary Roe at Uni. An orthopaedic consultant from NHS Golden Jubilee has been appointed as an honorary professor at the University of Strathclyde. Professor John Clark has been acknowledged for his work in the field of orthopaedics and his leading role in cutting-edge research for improved patient care. The professorship recognises his strategic vision and considerable research track record in computer-assisted orthopaedic surgery and allied technologies. Professor Clark, a consultant orthopaedic surgeon, is the lead for the orthopaedic research team at the Golden Jubilee University National Hospital. The national facility was awarded university hospital status through a strategic partnership with the University of Strathclyde to develop, amongst other activities, collaborative research capacity. As the research lead, he is at the forefront of the relationship with the university's biomedical engineering department. Professor Clark said, "The Golden Jubilee University National Hospital, in conjunction with the University of Strathclyde, has enabled me to fulfil my ambition of pursuing an academic consultant career whilst remaining in the west of Scotland. It is an absolute privilege to receive honorary professor status from the university, and I look forward to growing this partnership and producing world-class research in the years to come." The Golden Jubilee University National Hospital provides person-centred, high-quality care to patients from across Scotland and has a well-established and highly supported research infrastructure which creates an ideal environment for research to flourish. Within the strategic partnership, NHS Golden Jubilee works with the University of Strathclyde to develop sustainable, innovative, and practical solutions to health and social care challenges that will directly benefit NHS Scotland's patients and workforce for years to come. Through collaborative research and innovation, both organisations will strengthen their research portfolio and create highly efficient models for knowledge exchange and support teaching to deliver the workforce of the future. The University of Strathclyde's Dr. Phil Riches, reader in biomedical engineering, who nominated Professor Clark for the prestigious post, said, "John is well known and well respected amongst other orthopaedic departments in Glasgow, Scotland and the wider UK for his considerable research track record in robotic surgery and allied technologies. We expect this appointment to generate a gravitational pull for collaborative activity from a national perspective, as well as from the global orthopaedic surgical community. I believe John's strategic vision in orthopaedics could help create additional connections between the university and NHS Golden Jubilee in other areas, such as cardiovascular and ophthalmology, and we will be seeking his support and drive in creating and capitalising on emerging opportunities." Chris Gee, consultant orthopaedic surgeon and Associate Medical Director for National Elective Services at the NHS Golden Jubilee, said, John has been instrumental in developing research within orthopaedics at NHS Golden Jubilee, and this honorary professorship is extremely well deserved.
Carer is up for award. Local man Tinnish Mutor has been shortlisted for a Care Professional of the Year award for his commitment to supporting older people in the community. The annual award, run by home care company Home Instead, recognises its care professionals across the country who are providing exceptional home care and making a significant difference to the lives of their clients. Tinnish was selected as a finalist from a pool of 250 offices and 14,000 staff across the UK. Having always been passionate about caring for others, Tinnish previously worked as a youth counsellor, supporting people with HIV and AIDS in adolescent education, and after his grandfather became unwell and was diagnosed with dementia, Tinnish became his primary carer. Knowing that he had it within him to care for more people, Tinnish began his career journey with Home Instead Glasgow North in 2023 and began making it possible for older people in the area to receive the care they required and stay living in their beloved homes. Tinnish commented, "It's an honour to be nominated for this award out of thousands of care professionals nationwide. I work in a care role because I want to give back to the community, educate people and give people the dignity they deserve. But mostly, I do it because I simply love the job." Owner of Home Instead Glasgow North, Suhail Rehman, nominated Tinnish for the award after he consistently demonstrated compassion and outstanding care for a client with motor neuron disease. Having completed training with health professionals in hospital, Tinnish learned about the ways in which he can support his client to continue living at home. He also joined his client on a family holiday, providing reassurance and creating cherished memories. Suhail Rehman commented, "Tinnish embodies our values as well as a well-respected home care company. His passion and commitment to providing exceptional care to clients is inspirational. His remarkable ability to connect with clients and give back to the community truly reflects his passion for providing outstanding care."
Shelf life project at libraries as recorded by Hunter MacDonald. Breathe new life into an old piece of clothing, try a chocolate-covered insect and channel your inner poet at East Ambarchshire Libraries this March. These are just a few of the climate-inspired events taking place throughout the month as part of an initiative called Shelf Life. Funded by the Scottish Library and Information Council, the Shelf Life initiative aims to raise awareness of issues such as recycling, sustainability and climate change. Events will include workshops supporting upcycling, repair and traditional skills, and author and artist events featuring climate-themed text to generate engaging conversation. With a host of events taking place at William Patrick, Bishop Briggs, Lennoxton and Westerton Libraries, there are plenty of chances to get involved and try your hand at new skills. Events are free, but you must book your place. For full listings, visit eventbrite.co.uk/cc/shelf-life-2024-309489.
Lib Dems respond to tax freeze walkout criticism. East Ambartonshire Council has accepted money from the Scottish Government in exchange for a freeze on council tax. We told you last week of the Council's intentions to freeze the tax, with the SNP party taking a pop shot at the Liberal Democrat group over their decision to walk out of the budget meeting. The move to freeze the tax has now been confirmed, with Holyrood offering the authority £3.2 million to help fund the freeze. East Ambartonshire ranks in the middle of Scottish councils with annual tax rates currently ranging from £943.77 for Band A to £3,466.37 in Band B, with the Band D average at £1,415.66. Council leader Gordon Lowe said the freeze was the most appropriate approach given uncertainty due to ongoing negotiations with the Scottish Government and the potential impact of the UK budget. For the first time ever, the Liberal Democrat group on EDC walked out of the first of the Council's two budget meetings. Explaining the decision, group leader Councillor Vaughan Moody said they were not prepared to give credibility to the sham that is the SNP's so-called full funding of their council tax freeze. He added, they threatened to withdraw money if councils did not agree to a freeze which the First Minister announced as a political stunt, which came as a surprise to even his own party. A move which broke a firm agreement between the Scottish Government and COSLA, the body which represents local authorities and which is convened by an SNP council leader. My colleagues and I were not willing to play the SNP's game, which had the support of their Labour lapdogs on the council. We will play a full part in the next budget meeting on March 26th, when no doubt the effect of this decision will lead to yet more cuts to local services. In last week's Herald, Councillor Lowe called the walkout a childish stunt. This week, Lib Dem Councillor Susan Murray called that typically hypocritical. She added, Councillor Lowe seems to have forgotten that his SNP colleagues at Westminster are the masters of walkouts, their latest one being just a couple of weeks ago. And going by the social media backlash to MP Amy Callaghan's claim that the SNP is acting in the best interests of the people of Eastern Bartonshire, it is clear that local residents can also see through her party's actions. Conservative councillor Billy Hendry expressed shock at the idea the council was doing well from the Scottish Government, adding, we know exactly what was going to happen. We have been seeing this every year because it's the same old pattern we get just before the budget when some extra money comes in, but it is not enough. I want to see a council tax freeze. I also want to see extra money being put into local government so that we as local councillors can make that decision to freeze the council tax, not because we are being told if we are not going to jump to whatever central government wants us to do.
A firewalk fundraiser. Calling all would-be firewalkers. Carers Link, Eastern Bartonshire, CLED, in conjunction with Allender Rotary, is delighted to announce its electrifying 20th anniversary fundraising event, Brave the Embers for Carers Firewalk, on Sunday the 24th of March. Taking place in neighbouring Mulgay, Jennifer Rowe will be the first to step up for this bold initiative and is inviting participants to join her to walk across a path of glowing embers, igniting the spirit of giving to support young and adult unpaired carers living locally. Founded in 2004, the event marks the 20th anniversary of Carers Link, looking after unpaid carers in Eastern Bartonshire, and the launch of its special events and fundraising activities to mark the occasion. Now in its 20th year, CLED is supporting around 1,500 carers in the local community each year and provides a range of crucial services ranging from information and practical support to one-to-one support and carer sports groups. Working closely with Eastern Bartonshire Schools, the charity offers invaluable help to young carers aged from 5 to 25 with core services that include emotional support, well-being, information and advocacy, holiday breaks and activities. Jennifer Rowe, Chief Executive Officer of CLCD, said, our firewalk promises an extraordinary experience that not only challenges participants, but also ignites a flame of compassion for young and adult carers. For the past 20 years, we have been dedicated to providing a range of support services to young and adult carers of all ages who live or care in Eastern Bartonshire area. We are so proud to have supported over 6,600 carers, including over 6,000 adult carers and 564 young carers over the years. We have received 100 new young carer referrals in the last year alone. Our services are now more important than ever in reaching carers. Donations and fundraising and partnering with business makes a huge difference to being able to deliver our ongoing services. For more info and to sign up, head to carerslink.org.uk/events/firewalk2024.
Garden Waste Uplift Charge. Garden waste uplifts have restarted following the winter break and they will remain free of charge until July. However, from the summer, garden waste collections will become a paid-for service in Eastern Bartonshire. The introduction of a charge follows a unanimous decision taken by the council and brings Eastern Bartonshire in line with the majority of Scottish local authorities. Free collections will continue over the coming months while the permit system is set up. Council leader Gordon Lowe said the non-statutory service could no longer continue for free amidst reducing budgets and increasing costs for the authority. A single annual charge of £50 per green bin will be applied, entitling the household to 19 fortnightly collections from March to November. As this year's charge will be introduced halfway through the season, it will be pro rata for the first year, with households required to pay £26.62 per green bin for the 2024 season.
Keep Scotland beautiful. It's time for the big spring clean. Keep Scotland Beautiful is asking communities across Scotland to help tackle the country's litter emergency. It has launched a national call to action for hashtag SpringCleanScotland, a mass litter pick which kicks off on Friday, March 15th and runs until Sunday, April 28th. Last year, more than 30,000 people across Scotland rolled up their sleeves and, equipped with litter pickers, bags and gloves, made a positive difference to their own neighbourhoods. This year, Keep Scotland Beautiful is urging even more people to get involved and contribute to an even bigger national response. Barry Fisher, KSB Chief Executive, said, "Encouragingly, our research confirms that 85% of people in Scotland agree that they want to see more efforts to prevent litter in their area. It starts with us. No longer can we wait for someone else to pick up the litter we might walk past every day. We are inviting everyone to organise a litter pick with friends, family, workmates or alone, or to join an event registered on our Clean Up Scotland map. Every action, however small, will help us reverse the litter emergency. With litter significantly impacting the cleanliness of 75% of our streets and roads, hashtag SpringCleanScotland 2024 aims to inspire action to reverse the deterioration in environmental quality in Scotland's neighbourhoods. This year, the event has four key themes: nature, communities, health and well-being, and marine litter. Just half an hour of picking up litter and disposing of it safely can help an area look cleaner and feel safer. Evidence also shows it prevents more litter being dropped. And 89% of those who took part in last year's hashtag SpringCleanScotland said going outdoors to litter pick also helped them relax and unwind. Among their number was Mike Scotland, organiser of one of the biggest ever litter pick events in Aberdeen. He said, "I'm not just looking to encourage one person to take part in a litter pick this spring clean. I'm hoping to encourage as many people across the country as I can. I want to make a positive difference to the world, and I won't try to stop encouraging as many people as possible to play their part in cleaning it up. If you spot a difference, you can make a difference. You just need to try." In a recent survey by KSB, 50% of people agreed that litter was a problem across Scotland. If you are one of them, then the environmental charity hopes you'll be inspired to roll up your sleeves and get stuck in this spring. For access to tools and resources or to register an event in your area, visit www.keepscotlandbeautiful.org/springclean. And to learn more about the National Litter and Fly Tipping Strategy, which sets out a refreshed approach to tackling litter and fly tipping, and how you can get involved, visit www.keepscotlandbeautiful.org/litter. League of Their Own. Young people across Scotland are being encouraged to once again compete for clean-up glory. Keep Scotland Beautiful's Litter League is returning as part of its annual Spring Clean. Last year's inaugural league saw more than 100 youth-led competition events take place across 23 local authorities. There are 7 awards to be won as young people compete to be Litter League winners. Barry Fisher said, "It is a perfect way to get young people of all ages involved in keeping Scotland beautiful and, with some huge bragging rights, we can't wait to celebrate our 2024 league champions." A league info pack is available on the website.
New scheme to breathe life into ownerless sites. A new scheme will empower communities across Scotland to take over ownerless land and buildings, providing community assets where they are needed most. The King's and Lord Treasurer's Remembrancer, the Crown's representative in Scotland for ownerless property, launches the Ownerless Property Transfer Scheme on Friday. And it is encouraging public authorities and community bodies to work together to transform neglected property into much-needed facilities for local community benefit. This could include, for example, transforming blighted and eyesore properties into amenity areas or vital facilities for local people. Properties that might otherwise fall to the Crown will be sold for a price that covers the KLTR's external costs, likely to be a fraction of market value. Interested groups will be supported by a range of partners brought together by the KLTR. The scheme's launch comes after a public consultation process received a positive response from interested parties across Scotland, with councils and members of the public keen to explore the possibilities for transforming ownerless properties. It has been designed to foster collaboration between members of the community, local authorities and other parties with an interest in providing lasting benefits. John Logue, the King's and Lord Treasurer's Remembrancer, warmly welcomed the launch. He said, "I am pleased to launch the Ownerless Property Transfer Scheme, which fundamentally changes the way in which we all deal with ownerless property. The scheme will create opportunities for communities across Scotland to benefit from properties abandoned by their previous owners. I would encourage all interested parties to work together to ensure these opportunities benefit both present and future generations. We have taken time to ensure that this public interest scheme is fair and transparent. My officials look forward to working with key partners across the public and community sectors to address the barriers to bringing ownerless properties back into use. To find out more, visit the KLTR website."
Community funding. The Safe Deposit Scotland Community Fund, which awards grants to community groups across the country, is now open to applications for 2024. Grants of up to £5,000 are awarded to organisations which can deliver a project that meets at least one of 5 criteria: sustainability and the environment, employability and career skills, social inclusion, technology and digital inclusion, and improving the local community. Mike Smith, Safe Deposit Scotland Chief, said, "From enhancing play areas to planting trees, providing isolated individuals with social opportunities to helping young people prepare for work, these are the types of projects we hope to support." The next deadline for applications to the fund is Friday, March the 19th. For more guidance on the criteria or to apply for funding, visit www.safedepositscotland.com/community-fund.
Help our fire crews stop wildfires in their tracks. Firefighters tackled an average of 1 wildfire every day across Scotland during spring and early summer last year. New statistics from the Scottish Fire and Rescue Service, SFRS, show that 133 incidents of wildfire were recorded between March and June last year, typically the busiest time of the year for wildfires in Scotland. Some 48 of those wildfires were recorded in the category for the largest area of damage, spreading to over a hectare each. The Highlands was the worst affected, with more than one third, 50, and a further 10 in Naas Island Cear. In addition, there were 9 incidents recorded in Fife, 8 in North Lanarkshire, 7 in Argyll and Bute, 6 in Stirling, 3 in Aberdeenshire, 3 in Eastern Bartonshire, 2 in both Falkirk and Angus, and 1 each in West Lothian, the Borders and Mid Lothian. A number of others were also tackled by SFRS crews across the country in a busy year, with 136 wildfires fought from February to August. Due to a prolonged dry and warm period in June, SFRS witnessed an intense peak period where multiple wildfires across Scotland were occurring simultaneously. This included two of the largest wildfires recorded last year, at Cannich near Inverness and in the Ardnamurchan Peninsula in Kinlochmoidart, which involved hundreds of firefighters and community partners committed over several weeks. Deputy Assistant Chief Officer, DACO, Bruce Farquharson, SFRS Wildfire Lead, revealed the figures as he launched this year's wildfire prevention campaign. He said, "Wildfires are extremely dangerous as they can spread rapidly over many hectares of land. Careless behaviour is often the root cause of wildfires, which have the potential to burn for days or weeks, placing a significant drain on our crews. With sensible precautions, the public can play a crucial part in preventing wildfires from damaging wildlife, environment and rural communities. When Scotland is most at risk of wildfires, crews are notified by the Scottish Wildlife Forum, which issues a wildfire danger assessment highlighting the areas most likely to be affected." DACO Farquharson added, "When there is an active wildfire warning in place, we would ask people not to start a fire outdoors. Even with the best of intentions, there is still a risk that fire can be spread. For example, if you light a campfire and don't fully extinguish it before you leave, it can have devastating consequences. People should also ensure that other items, such as cigarettes, are disposed of safely and responsibly. The SFRS wants the public to better understand the conditions in which wildfires thrive in. During the colder months, frost can remove the moisture from the vegetation on the ground and leave it tinder dry. Similarly, in the spring or summer, very warm and dry conditions can leave the ground primed to fuel a fire. Strong winds added to any of the conditions above can determine how much a wildfire spreads. More practical tips and guidance, as well as any active wildlife danger assessments, can be found at www.firescotland.gov.uk. Wednesday the 6th of March. Family announcements. Deaths. White, Jeanette Nee Brown, formerly of Kirkintilloch, peacefully, at home in Cumbernauld, on February 26, 2024, after a short illness. She was the loving wife of the late Jim White, loving mother to Stuart and Susan, loving mother-in-law to Chris, and will be laid to rest at a private service on Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. Think of loved ones by planning for the future. Essential steps to ensuring you and your family are prepared. Being prepared, both financially and factually, for your own death is an essential part of life. Here are five simple steps to take. 1. Think about your funeral. This may seem a somber and depressing thing to do, but the first step to helping your family and also ensuring your wishes for your funeral are followed is to write them down, says Executive Directory of Red Apple Law, www.myredapplelaw.com, that's www.myredapplelaw.com. Angie Wilson. It may be easier to start by thinking about what you don't want. Maybe even write this down, as this provides some guidance and reassurance to your loved ones that they won't choose something you wouldn't have wanted. Then think about what you would like. Flowers or donations to charity, perhaps? If flowers, which type? If donations, which charity? What kind of service would you like? Ensure you talk through the individual parts of the ceremony with your loved ones. Don't forget about the music you would like to be played during the ceremony either. The most important thing is to make sure you're aware of all the choices that are available to you and that someone knows what your choices are. 2. Start saving now. Dying is actually a fairly expensive business, says Angie. and even the most simple funerals can cost thousands of pounds. So what can you do about this? The short answer is, not much, but you can be aware of it and start planning now. There are a few options, from putting money into a high interest savings account, to a later years type life insurance plan, or a prepaid funeral plan. Although any steps you may have taken along these lines will help, you must be aware of any shortfalls. With the sharp rises seen, year on year, how can you possibly know how much to save and for how long? How much is enough? If you have a prepaid funeral plan, you're fully covered though, aren't you? Sadly, not necessarily. If you have purchased a prepaid funeral plan, you may have paid for this in one go, you may have paid a deposit and be paying monthly installments for a set period of time, or you may be paying subscription style payments. Regardless of how you are paying, I urge you to check one thing. How much of your disbursements, such as doctor's certificates, flowers, newspaper notices, etc. are included / covered by your plan? 3. Ensure you're insured. We've all seen the adverts and given fleeting thoughts around what if, and many of us have life insurance in place. So we're okay, right? Says Angie. Maybe so, but when was the last time you checked the suitability of your policy or policies? If your circumstances have changed and you haven't informed your insurance provider, you could well be paying monthly for something you wouldn't actually pay out to your loved ones should you pass away. You owe it to yourself to dig the policy out and check through it, especially the exclusion section, as well as what your provider deems a change of circumstances to include. 4. Pass on your passwords. Okay, so who knows your password for Facebook, Amazon, Twitter, internet banking, your TV subscription accounts, and just about everything else you sign on to online? Other than you? Asks Andrew. What happens if no one knows how to access these after you've passed away? The answer is an administrative, cumbersome nightmare, and all this is the worst possible time for your family to be dealing with it. In order to work towards your hard-earned cash not becoming part of a forgotten account, what can you do? One solution is a digital asset vault, essentially a digital filing cabinet, where you can store passwords, important documents and other sensitive pieces of information all together in one place. It gives you the ability to list and log your assets, accounts, property, memberships, etc. to create your own asset register. You then appoint 2 to 4 trusted people with whom you can share this encrypted password with either during your lifetime or only when you choose for them to have it. If you do come across one of these digital asset vaults, make sure you check its security capabilities, which should be at least bank level, military grade where possible. 5. Where there's a will. How many people have suggested you should make a will? Probably many people over the years, but in my experience, people leave it around 10 years before actually getting a will made, says Angie. Essentially, until your will is signed and your signature has been witnessed, this is termed as the attestation of the will, your will is simply a piece of paper upon which your wishes are written, what goes where, in what share, to who, etc. You need name those you would like to care for any children you may have under 18 years of age, guardians, and finally, you name the people you trust to deal with everything you own and follow the wishes in your will, your executors. Once you are happy with everything on your will, you sign it in the presence of 2 independent witnesses. Your witnesses don't have to read your will or know its contents, but it is advisable to tell them it is a will they will be witnessing your signature on. Your witnesses then have no further involvement. Once you have signed your will and had your signatures witnessed correctly, your piece of paper then becomes your last will and testament. Why bother? Well, you could leave it and let intestacy kick in. This is a set of rules governing what happens to your estate, everything you own, if you die without a valid will in place. This may suit you and your circumstances, but partners may get nothing. You won't get to choose who you would like to care for your children or who you would like to deal with your affairs after you have gone. Worst of all, if you have no relatives, your estate goes to the crown.
truly disturbing picture of online child sex abuse. The number of child sexual abuse images offences recorded by Police Scotland were at a record high last year. A total of 765 offences where child abuse images were collected and distributed were logged in 2022-23, according to Police Scotland data, up by 15% from the previous year. Since 2017-18, when the National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children first called for social media regulation, a total of 3,877 crimes have been recorded while children and families have waited for online safety laws. The charity said the figures show the need for swift and ambitious action by tech companies to address what is currently happening on their platforms. It is also calling for Ofcom to significantly strengthen its approach to tackling child sexual abuse through effective enforcement of the Online Safety Act. A consultation into Ofcom's first codes for companies to adopt to disrupt child sexual abuse on their platforms closed last week. The NSPCC want these measures introduced without delay, but has urged Ofcom to begin work on a second version of the codes that will require companies to go much further. The charity believes companies should be required to use technology that can help identify and tackle grooming, sextortion, and new child abuse images. It also wants tougher measures for private messaging services to make child protection a priority, including in end-to-end encrypted environments. The NSPCC warned that Meta's rollout of end-to-end encryption on Facebook and Instagram will prevent authorities from identifying offenders and safeguarding victims. The charity wants plans paused until Meta can prove child safety will not be compromised, and has urged parties to find a balance between the safety and privacy of all users, including children. It said a further rollout should be delayed until Ofcom can study Meta's risk assessment as part of the new regulatory regime. Sir Peter Wanless, NSPCC Chief Executive, said, "It's alarming to see online child abuse continue to rise, especially when tech companies should be acting to make their sites safe. Behind these crimes are children who have been targeted by adults who are able to organise and share sexual abuse with other offenders seamlessly across social media and messaging apps." The Online Safety Act sets out robust measures to make children fundamentally safer on the sites and apps they use so they can enjoy a healthy online experience. Ofcom has been quick off the blocks but must act with greater ambition to ensure firms prioritise child safety. Susie Hargreaves, Chief Executive of the Internet Watch Foundation, the UK's front line against child sexual abuse imagery online, was shocked by the latest figures. She said, "It's a truly disturbing picture and a reflection of the growing scale of the availability and demand for images and videos of children suffering sexual abuse. The IWF is ready to support technology companies and Ofcom in implementing the Online Safety Act to help make the UK the safest place in the world to be online."
Kirkintilloch and Bishopbriggs Herald letters page. Let's talk. Please send your letters via email to kirkyherald@jnscotland.co.uk. That's kirkyherald@jnscotland.co.uk and write letters in the subject field. Please keep letters to a maximum of 300 words. Letters cannot be published without a name and postal address. Also include a daytime phone number if possible. We reserve the right to edit any letter. Give it up, Holyrood. Foreign aid is handled by Westminster. Sir, so the SNP is spending more of the money which should be spent on Scottish needs and foreign aid, this time to Malawi. Two charities working there will receive a further £500,000, while we who pay taxes to this SNP government are getting less and less. While Malawi might need money, foreign aid is part of the role of the UK government. So the next time the SNP say they don't have enough money from the UK to fund schools, roads, education, health, etc., ask them how much they gave away in foreign aid. Yours, etc., Elizabeth Hand, address supplied. The Scottish Government should be applauded for its record. Sir, last week we had the Scottish Parliament's crucial vote on the SNP presented Scottish budget, and a few questions arose during the debate in Holyrood. First, there was no alternative budget presented by either of the opposition parties, only criticism. There was no acknowledgement from opposition parties of the groundbreaking Scottish child payment of £25 per week for eligible children under 16, tackling child poverty head on, assisting in each of 327,000 households. No acknowledgement from opposition parties of the Scottish Government's initiative in assisting the younger generation, with no tuition fees for further education and free bus travel for the under 22s. And no acknowledgement from opposition parties regarding our nurses being the best paid anywhere in the UK, and no NHS strikes in Scotland. Regarding the opposition's disapproval of the Scottish Government's budget, it may be worth reiterating it included a council tax freeze, something that has not been unanimously accepted by councils, with Argyll and Bute, Lib Dem/Tory coalition, imposing a 10% increase. The Scottish Government is to be applauded for their record on addressing poverty and assisting the most vulnerable in society, with more mitigating measures in this year's now approved budget. Yours, etc., Katrina C. Clark, by email. Downing Street money tree suddenly blossoms for MP security. Sir, hands up, who has been fertilising the Downing Street money tree? £31 million found rather rapidly, all to private security company, to enhance security for MPs. I just can't help wondering which MP's son, slash daughter, slash spouse will turn out to have a hand in the teller of the receiving company. Just think how much comfort approximately £31,000 per head could bring as a down payment in the reparation for the 1,000 or so postmasters, wondering if settlement would precede their demise, as so many have already died waiting for the compensation due to them following the PO Horizon software debacle. Yours, etc., Neil Robertson, by email. Gaza apology, Scotland has to leave corrupted, toxic union. Sir, thoughtful it may have been for Humza Yousaf to say he is deeply sorry that the people of Gaza have been let down, he really cannot apologise for what has been done by others. He cannot apologise on behalf of those in power or multinational institutions that were meant to protect Gaza. Many Scots have done what we can, either through our elected representatives, noting especially the SNP ceasefire motion calling out Israel's action as collective punishment that was blocked at Westminster, or by protesting on the streets, or in other ways in the face of oppression from the British state, while others have been bravely active in trying to bring aid to Gaza. The First Minister is not in a position to exert any substantial influence on the Middle East. If he's truly sorry, he must get Scotland out of the corrupted, toxic union that calls Israel's attempted genocide self-defence. Only then can Scots make a more meaningful stand against the criminal actions of the State of Israel. Yours, etc., Nee Holmes, by email. IPSO regulated. This newspaper and its website is a member of the Independent Press Standards Organisation, the regulatory body for the press, and abide by its code of conduct. If you have a complaint about editorial content which relates to inaccuracy or intrusion, then contact the editor. If you remain dissatisfied with the response provided, then you can contact IPSO at Gatehouse, 1 Farringdon Street, London, EC4M 7LG, telephone 0300 123 2220, or email inquiries@ipso.co.uk.
a spotlight on ovarian cancer. Target ovarian cancer is determined to dispel common myths about ovarian cancer, as a continued lack of awareness could have serious implications for women's health. The charity is using Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month this March to raise awareness. According to the charity, 4 in 10 women commonly believe that cervical screening can detect ovarian cancer, which it does not. And the symptoms of ovarian cancer, persistent bloating, abdominal pain, needing to wee more often and feeling full quickly, continue to be put down to other conditions, such as the menopause or IBS. Ovarian cancer is the 6th most common cause of cancer deaths among women in the UK, and more needs to be done to ensure women are diagnosed early to save lives. Awareness and understanding of the symptoms is imperative to this. Helen Dickens, at Target Ovarian Cancer Deputy Chief Executive, said, "Although progress has been made over the years, we need to see it accelerated. A woman diagnosed at the earliest possible opportunity has a better chance of surviving this devastating disease. March is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month, and we want to empower women to get help quickly if they're concerned. It starts with knowing the main symptoms: persistent bloating, abdominal pain, needing to wee more often and feeling full quickly. Research by Target Ovarian Cancer shows awareness of the disease remain concerningly low and misconceptions prevail. This can lead to a delayed diagnosis when the disease is harder to treat." Dr. Sharon Tate, Target Ovarian Cancer Head of Primary Care Engagement, said, "We need to be clear that ovarian cancer can be caught early if the knowledge is there. 5 things you need to know. There are symptoms. Cervical screening does not detect ovarian cancer. You can have ovarian cancer at any age, but postmenopausal women and those over 50 are at a higher risk. You can get ovarian cancer even if you've had a hysterectomy, and hereditary ovarian cancer is not only passed down through the maternal line, you could be at high risk if you have 2 or more cases of breast and or ovarian cancer in your family history."
App to help Scots tackle cyber threats. The Cyber and Fraud Centre Scotland has unveiled a new app which will deliver cyber and fraud threat alerts to organisations in Scotland. With 3 severity levels, the Cyber and Fraud Centre Threat Intel app helps users to prioritise the response based on the urgency of the threat, bespoke to the private sector, public sector, third sector and academia. Along with real-time alerts, it also connects recipients to the centre's incident response helpline, which provides valuable resources and support to organisations. Jude McCorry, Cyber and Fraud Centre Scotland CEO, said, "Staying ahead of hackers is becoming an increasingly onerous task. We have created this app to provide a dedicated platform for Scottish organisations to gather free and filtered threat intelligence. The app can be downloaded from Google Play Store and the Apple App Store."
As published on Wednesday the 6th of March, District News, Churches, Torrens Parish Church. The morning service, in person, is at 10:30 a.m. conducted by Reverend Stuart Irwin. During the service, the youngsters meet together in creche, junior church and frog. To join the service online, click torrensparishchurch.online.church. The cafe is open every Wednesday at 9 a.m. to noon for tea and coffee and delicious home baking. Why not come and taste for yourself? The Girls Brigade meet on Wednesdays, P1 to P3, 6:15 p.m. to 7:15 p.m. and P4 to S6, 7 to 8:15 p.m. The Boys Brigade meet on Thursday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m, company section only. To find out about regular weekly activities, check the website for What's On at www.tpc.com. www.kirkintilloch.org.uk. Kirkintilloch Church of God at Regent Hall, Regent Street on Wednesday. Our coffee corner is open from noon to 2 p.m. for home baking and coffee. Join our friends and neighbours for a chat over a coffee. On Sunday, there will be a Zoom service at 6:30 p.m. The speaker this week will be Alex Brown from Wishaw. A warm invitation to everyone who is able to join us on Zoom. Access details for the stream can be obtained by emailing hello@regenthall.org. For up-to-date and further information on our services, visit our website on www.regenthall.org. Jesus said, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I shall raise him up at the last day." John chapter 6, verse 20. Springfield Cambridge Church. Morning worship on Sunday, March the 10th, will be conducted by Reverend Ian Taylor, assisted by our assistant minister, Mrs. Julie Harty, in the sanctuary at 11 a.m. Tea and coffee will be served in the Cameron Hall after morning worship. Come along and enjoy the fellowship. No collection is taken during the service, so donations can be made by placing them in the offering plates in the Hall of Fellowship as you enter or leave the building. The Sunday School meets in Room 2, where creche facilities are also available. Morning worship is also being live streamed on the Springfield Cambridge Church YouTube channel. A link to this can be found in the Springfield Cambridge Church website, www.springfieldcambridge.org.uk, and Facebook page, where up-to-date information about events and church organisations can also be found. There will be a vestry hour on Wednesday, March the 6th, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for anyone who would like to speak with the minister. There will be a short weekly service of worship in the Springfield Chapel on Wednesday, March the 6th, from 11:10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m, followed by tea and coffee in the Hall of Fellowship. Members of the congregation are invited to donate an Easter egg labelled A Gift of Hope to share the Christian message with individuals in temporary accommodation and hostels to support the work of the Lodging House Mission. These should be left in the Hall of Fellowship on Sundays, March 10th and March 17th. Lindsay Old Parish Church. Sunday worship begins in the church at 11 a.m. A creche is available for children under 3. The Quilt and Craft Group meet every Wednesday 10 a.m. to noon in the session room. Thursday Afternoon Club is on Thursday, March the 14th from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy tea and coffee and home baking, followed by a game of Scrabble, Dominoes, Roomie Cub or Uno. If preferred, you can sit back and chat and or do your knitting. There are books for sale and any donations go to Women's Aid. Scottish Country Dancing is on every Thursday 7:15 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Come along for fun, fitness and friendship. Home Church Scotland, Lammermoor Road, Kirkintilloch, G662AB. Home Church Kirkintilloch, Home Church East End, Carmyle, G32ATP, and online. A church for all ages. Jesus said, "Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples." Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. March 10. Service times are changing. 9:30 a.m. worship service. 11 a.m. refreshments. 11:30 a.m. worship service followed by refreshments. A warm welcome awaits you at either service. Home Church Carmyle, 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. Tuesdays, engine room, 9:30 a.m. Home groups, Tuesdays, Bible study on Zoom. Wednesdays, now called Boiler Room, in church at 7:15 p.m. except last Wednesday in the month, and on all social media platforms. Craft and Coffee, Fridays at 10 a.m. Youth Group, Fridays at 7:30 p.m. Home Radio is available every day. See Facebook, Instagram and Home Church website for the latest information for Carmyle and Kirkintilloch. Kenmure Parish Church. Our Sunday morning worship begins at 11 a.m. and this week will be led by Reverend Susan Anderson. You are welcome to join us both in church and on our YouTube channel. The service on YouTube can be watched live as it is streamed or later at a time that suits you. You can find our channel by simply searching for Kenmure Bishop Briggs on YouTube. Teas and coffees and a time of fellowship follows. The most up-to-date details of all of our groups that are currently running may be found on the What's On section of our website, kenmure-church.co.uk. To find us on Facebook, just search for Kenmure Parish Church. If you would like to join our WhatsApp group or receive the Bible studies from ABC, then email us at kenmurechurch@icloud.com. Lindsay Union Parish Church. We celebrate two baptisms during the Sunday service on March the 10th at 11 a.m, led by Reverend Dan Carmichael. A creche is provided for babies and toddlers. Young people are also welcome to Lighthouse and Bible class. A live stream of the service is available on YouTube via our website. The meeting place opens for tea and coffee and home baking every Wednesday 10 a.m. to 12 noon. From the very young to the young at heart, is welcome to attend. We also have a good selection of greetings cards and second-hand books for sale. Youth Cafe, Thursdays 3:45 p.m. to 5 p.m. A place where young people can hang out, relax and have a good time after a long day at school. Each week there is a free snack with lots of different things to do, such as games consoles, table tennis, arts and crafts, board games and more. The coffee pot is open on Fridays 10 a.m. until noon in the new hall for teas, coffee and chat. Silver Movers Dance Exercise takes place 1:30 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. in the old hall on the first and third Monday of each month. Come and dance, relax and enjoy. Contact Claire 0742 125 722. The Guild Coffee Morning is on Saturday, March the 9th, 10 a.m. to noon. Tickets £3. Messy Church, an hour of fun for the whole family, is on Saturday, March the 9th, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. in the New Hall. St. James Church, Hilton Road, Bishop Briggs, Rector Reverend Canon Paul Watson, 0141 230-4080. There is a communion service in the chapel on Thursday, March the 7th at 11 a.m. and on Sunday, March the 10th, Mothering Sunday at 9 a.m. The 10:30 a.m. communion service with hymns on Sunday is in the church, during which the Mothering Sunday flowers will be distributed amongst the congregation. Everyone is welcome to come along to any of these services. Do stay on for tea and coffee and fellowship afterwards. On Tuesday, March 12th at 1 p.m, there is a Tuesday club lunch with a talk by Professor James Parrott, retired from Strathclyde University. Title: Faith Over a Lifetime. Do feel free to come along. £3 donation at the door. You will be most welcome to join us. There are also other virtual services and groups. For up-to-date and further information, refer to our social media, Facebook, St. James LS Bishop Briggs, website, www.stjamesbishopbriggs.org.uk. Milton of Campsie Parish Church. Cafe Connect is on Tuesday morning at 9:30 a.m. On Wednesday at 7 p.m, we meet for time to pray at the Eric Liddell. Come when you can, leave when you must. on Thursday, March 7th, you're invited to a fair fashion evening. We all use textiles on a daily basis. Within the church, we are lucky enough to have the rehoming project for items that are still in good order. But what do you do with the items that are past their best? The socks with holes, the jumpers with frayed edges, the bed sheets that have gone bobbly? Or maybe you have a favourite item that needs a repair but don't know where to start? This event will help us all understand how best to look after, repair, upcycle or recycle our clothes and household textiles. Please bring a garment with you that you want to talk about, perhaps because you want to get rid of it but don't know how, or because it needs repaired / or you have repaired it and want to share. We meet for worship on Sunday, March 10th at 11 a.m. All the children and youth groups meet as normal. The theme is Jesus Saves. Please send us a photo of yourself with the words Jesus Saves. Our charity of the month is SU Holiday Camps, Baby and Toddler Group, Hobbies Club and Badminton meet on Monday. St Mary's Parish Church. The service on Sunday, March the 10th will take place at 11 a.m. and be led by the Reverend Ruth Morrison. There will be age-suitable activities in the church halls during the service. On March 6th, Wednesday, welcome will continue with tea, coffee and home baking available from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. This will be followed by a short service. On Wednesday, March 6th, our monthly open doors will take place. The church will be open from 10:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. On this occasion, we welcome Neil Gillies to our open day. He was a flautist in the BBC Symphony Orchestra, Scottish Ballet and the Scottish Chamber Orchestra, and he will be playing a selection of well-known pieces of music beginning at 12:45 p.m. A light lunch will be available from 12:45 p.m. to 2 p.m. On Saturday, March 23rd, the Kirkintilloch Male Voice Choir will be holding their annual concert in St Mary's Parish Church beginning at 7 p.m. Tickets are available from any choir member. Cadder Parish Church. For full details, please see our website www.cadderchurch.org. We look forward to welcoming you this coming Sunday to our morning service. The service today will be led by Reverend John McGregor and Chris Gordon, Probationer Minister. Our music is led by Javi Jose Ascendo Malo, MMUS. All are welcome. The services are recorded and are available from the church website. Tea and coffee served after the service. Food bank. If you wish to donate to the local food bank, you can bring your donations of food to the church or the coffee shop. Early fellowship meets in person in the South Hall Chapel at 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday and Thursday, and also on Zoom. Cadder Lent Journey Reflection, Wednesdays 11:30 a.m. up to Holy Week in the South Hall Chapel. Cadder Coffee Shop, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and Friday, 10 to noon. A warm welcome awaits you. Cadder Messy Play, Tuesday and Thursday, South Hall, 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Guild AGM, Thursday, March 7th. Climate Change Conference, Saturday, March 9th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Cadder Church South Halls. Cadder Holy Week Service, Monday, March 25th from 7 p.m. in Cadder Sanctuary. 92nd Girls Brigade Coffee Morning, Saturday, March 16th from 10 a.m. to noon. Tickets will be on sale soon, priced at £4 per adult. This is our only fundraising event for the company, and your support would be very much appreciated. We only have a few leaders, so if you can help in any way, please contact me on 0141 563 6289 or 079624 436 289. 92nd Glasgow Company, the Girls Brigade, Tuesdays, Explorers, P1 to P3, 6:15 to 7:30 p.m. juniors, S1 to S6, 7:30pm to 9pm. 212th Boys Brigade, Anchor Boys, P1 to P3, Monday 6pm to 7pm. Junior Section, P4 to 6, Monday 7:15pm to 8:30pm. Company/Senior Section, P7 to S6, Friday 7pm to 9pm. Lodging House Mission, Easter Egg Appeal. LHM are asking for donations of Easter eggs during Lent. Please label each egg a gift of hope, so sharing the Christian message with individuals in temporary accommodation and hostels. Donations can be brought to the church on Sundays, March the 10th and 17th. Thank you for responding to this appeal.
Young Kira needs a loving home. Meet Kira, an adorable 4-month-old Belgian Malinois cross with a heart of gold. Kira is a sweet girl who is eager to find her forever home where she can thrive and grow. Despite her young age, Kira has already captured the hearts of everyone she meets with her gentle and affectionate demeanour. She's a super sweet girl who loves nothing more than being by your side, whether it's cuddling up in the sofa or exploring the great outdoors. Kira may be able to live with another friendly dog of similar size, providing her with companionship and playtime. If you could provide a home for Kira or any of the 40 dogs available for rehoming, contact us on 01506 873 459.
Holyrood View. Local community keeps Scotland beautiful, by Rona Mackay, MSP. Helping to protect the environment is never far from our minds these days, and we have a wonderful community in the Strathkelvin and Bearsden constituency who continually rise to the challenge. Huge congratulations to the team at Bishopbriggs Fire Station who finished top in Scotland in the Firefighters Charity Nationwide Bag It and Bin It campaign. The local station collected an amazing 3,280 kilograms, 3.2 tonnes, of clothing at their on-site recycling bank during January, which helped raise £800 for the charity. The creative pupils at Torrens Primary School must also be congratulated for their endeavours for the environment. The talented young people triumph in a Keep Scotland Beautiful's Stem the Flow competition, winning the award for most innovative solution to tackle marine litter. I was delighted to put forward motions at the Scottish Parliament to commend both on their success. It has been a hectic time in my local constituency this month, with constituents still feeling the full force of the cost of living crisis. Thanks to the UK government's economic incompetence, constituents suffered the worst inflation in a generation last year. Food inflation hit a 45-year high at 19.2%, and while price rises have slowed, in January they were still 7% higher than a year ago. We are all paying the price for Westminster control. The SNP government is doing its utmost to mitigate Tory failings. That's why the latest Scottish budget is targeting spending to help tackle poverty, grow our economy and protect public services. A freeze on council tax will help overstretch family finances, and there is further assistance through the council tax reduction scheme introduced a decade ago by the SNP. The game-changing Scottish Child Payment is making a positive difference in the lives of children, including almost 4,000 children in my own constituency. I am delighted this will rise to £6.70 per eligible child per week from April this year. Coupled with funding the real living wage for care workers and commitments to the green economy and public services, the SNP will always stand up for Scotland. If you need assistance, call 0141 776 1561 or email rona.mackay.msp@parliament.scot. That's rona.mackay.msp@parliament.scot.
Society of Antiquaries Meeting. The next meeting of the Kirkintilloch and District Society of Antiquaries will be on Thursday, March the 7th at 7:30 p.m. in the Park Centre, 45 Kerr Street, Kirkintilloch. James Mearns of the Glasgow Archaeological Society will give a presentation on what the Romans did for Glasgow Archaeological Society. This will relate the history of the Glasgow Archaeological Society, GAS, from its foundation in 1856 to the present day, with particular emphasis on the investigation of sites on the Antonine Wall in the vicinity of Kirkintilloch. Jim was president of the GAS in 2006, and for the last 10 years he has been its archivist and editor of the Scottish Archaeological Journal.
Sports section, Speedway. Glasgow unveils its new race suit. Glasgow Tigers has unveiled its new race suit as the club prepares to defend the Camp Direct Championship title in 2024. In January, a competition was launched for fans to decide what the riders will wear this season, and last month the management voted for Magdalena Riga as the winner. Magdalena and her family visited from Poland to watch a meeting at Ashfield Stadium last year and will be presented with a replica. As well as the normal team branding and sponsors, the race suits also feature a logo on the top label to pay tribute to supporters group committee member Alex Halliburton after she passed away from cancer in November. Tigers co-owner Peter Fasena said, "It's a really fresh experience for the riders. We love the design from Magdalena, combining our team and country colours. There are subtle twists with extra stars and stripes. Naturally, we also have four gold stars in the collar to depict our league title wins. That was a nice inclusion for us to have to make. It was also important for the club to pay tribute to Alex. It means a lot to us that she will be a permanent part of the suit as we defend the title. Alex played a valuable role at the club and watched her last Tigers meeting as we won the home leg of the Championship Grand Final against Poole. She remains very much part of our thoughts." The Tigers will wear the new race suits in competition action for the first time in April the 5th when they travel to Edinburgh Monarchs in the BSN series. Home fans will have to wait until April the 12th to see them being used at Ashfield, where Monarchs come calling for the return meeting. The BSN series fixtures, which also include Berwick Bandits, will be followed by the KO Cup quarter-final against Oxford Cheetahs, before Tigers begin the defence of their championship crown at home to Workington Comets on May the 3rd. Football. Megan is hat-trick hero as Rossville reach final. Rossville women have reached the Championship and League One Cup final following a 5-2 win over Renfrew on Sunday. The semi-final took place at New Central Park, home of Kilty Hearts, as Megan Whiteford scored a hat-trick to ensure his side progressed. It took just 9 minutes for Whiteford to put the Championship leaders in front as she drilled in a free kick from the edge of the box. The lead would only last for 2 minutes, with Holly McKindle equalising for Renfrew. However, Rossville got their noses back in front in 18 minutes as Whiteford finished off a fine team move from close range. Lauren Coleman added a third on 27 minutes with a header, and that was the way it remained until half-time. On 61 minutes, Whiteford completed her hat-trick in style with another free kick, this time from all 40 yards out. 4 minutes later, Renfrew pulled another one back through their skipper, Emma Baird. However, Sarah Wardlaw wrapped up the scoring in 69 minutes, as she showed good composure at the edge of the box to lob the ball into the net. Driborough Athletic beat Ayr United in the other semi-final played earlier in the day, and the final will take place at Indoor Drill Stadium in Alloa on April the 21st. Rossville will return to league action this Sunday as they travel to second place Ayr, looking to extend their 11-point lead at the top of the table. Glasgow City thrashed Aberdeen 8-1 at home on Sunday in the final match of the SWPL 1 season before the split. There were less than 2 minutes on the clock when Carly Giamona set up Hayley Lauder to give City the lead. It took until 31 minutes for the second to arrive through Michaela Moore, and then Lisa Forrest and Giamana made it 4-0 at the break. Bailey Hutchison pulled one back for the visitors 5 minutes into the second half, but it was one-way traffic, only halted temporarily. Moore and Giamana both grabbed their second, as Wilmer Forsblom and Ailey Gambon found the net to secure the 3 points. City remained third, level of points with second place Celtic and 4 points behind leaders Rangers. Oliver, proud to run Lowland League leaders so close. Asheville boss Michael Oliver admits he would have taken running East Kilbride so close in the quarter-final of the South Region Challenge Cup even before a ball was kicked. The West of Scotland First Division side would ultimately lose 3-2 when the Lowland League leaders came calling, but Asheville refused to lie down and were still in the match until the last kick of the ball. Oliver told the club's YouTube channel, "It was a tough game. Obviously, we knew it would be. East Kilbride are a top side, and there's a reason why they're running away with the Lowland League. We had to show East Kilbride the level of respect they deserve, so we asked our boys to do a different type of performance, and I thought individually and collectively they carried it out. I thought the boys competed really well. It would have been easy for us to chuck it when we went 1-0 down after 6 minutes, but they pulled away and obviously we got back into the game. We've lost the game, which is frustrating, but genuinely, if someone had said beforehand we'd run them right close and be in to right at the end, I would have taken that. I'm really pleased and proud of the players' performance, and it's just unfortunate that we maybe couldn't force extra time." Kirkintilloch's Rob Roy are through with a 2-1 win away to fellow Premier Division side Troon, and will head to Cumbernauld Colts in the semi-final at the end of the month. Petershill maintained their 6-point gap at the top of the First Division with a 3-1 win at home to Maybole Juniors. Caledonian Locomotives are now just 1 point ahead of 4th place Cumbernauld United in the race for promotion from the 2nd Division after drawing 1-1 at home to Glasgow Perthshire. It could prove to be a valuable point for Shire as they look to keep the bottom three at arm's length. West Park United are still 4 points from safety in the 3rd Division after a 2-0 defeat at home to Irvine Victoria. Saturday fixtures. Premier Division. Rob Roy vs Glenafton Athletic. First Division. Shotts Bon Accord vs Petershill. Ashfield vs Thornleywood United. Second Division. Caledonian Locomotives vs Larkhall Thistle. Fourth Wanderers vs Glasgow Perthshire. Third Division, Lanark United v West Park United. Fourth Division, Rossville versus Giffnock.
That concludes this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at Tune Review and to tell your friends about our service.